Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 15 says this. Well, that's not correct. That's 19:15. Amen. There we are. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So turn over with me to Proverbs 11:22, just a few chapters down. Proverbs 11:22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. We're preaching tonight on, are you wearing the ring or is the ring wearing you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the evening you've given to us. Thank you for these dear folks. Lord, each one of them represents, just like we're talking about tonight, we'll hit on that a little bit, a jewel. Lord, they're precious in your sight. Lord, everybody you've created on this earth, Lord, whether they're saved or not, is precious to you. Help us then to see them as you see them. Lord, help us to take what we learned this evening about this interesting word in the Bible, that, Lord, we would take it as a reminder, as a token of our, Lord, on our hearts, so that we would go out and see folks with the same eyes that you see, Lord, that we would, when we read the Bible, that we would let it apply itself to our hearts as you want it to be applied. Help me tonight. Help me to say what I need to say. Help me what I should say. And Lord, help me to say what you want me to say this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's been a good day, a hot day. I'm sure you've enjoyed it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some things tonight. Back in 2011, if I can go back with you in my memory, you don't remember it because you weren't there. I mean, I'm sure you were somewhere. All right. How many of you were not born in 2011? You were not born in 2011. All right. Okay. All right. That's not too bad. Okay. How many of you were born in 2011? All right. Let's just keep going down this road. How many of you were older than, oh, we better not do that. All right. Let's see. How many of you were older than, 20? That's a lot of, in 2011. All right. Okay. All right. Good. See, you're in good company tonight. All right. In 2011, I got to visit Washington, D.C. And when I visited Washington, D.C. for the week, we toured all of the major monuments, all that kind of stuff. So we would have left on a Sunday and got back on a Saturday type of thing. By the way, if you've never done that before, or you've never spent some time in our nation's capital, I would encourage you to do that. That's a very neat place to go see. But we saw all the monuments and the historical sites and all that kind of stuff. And we had enough time to where, honestly, we saw some things, went to those museums, the Smithsonian, right? We spent one day just on that whole little area going into all the museums there. It's where America's greatest treasures would be kept. I mean, most of them. There's plenty of things you can go see every place, but a lot of the important cultural stuff, our history, our founding documents and stuff are there in Washington, D.C. But of all the things that are there, the oddest thing, and I don't think it's my favorite thing, I don't think it's the thing I enjoyed the most, but it was something I had never looked at this closely before. In one of the Smithsonian museums, there was a gallery dedicated to precious stones and jewels. All right, you will say, what's the big deal about that? It's just jewelry, right? You can go to Zales or wherever else, right, and go look at, well, come on, I'm an 18-year-old young man. I don't even care about, ring shopping, all right? Yet I hadn't met the jewel, all right, quite yet. And so that was not on my radar at all. In fact, this is the closest I've ever gotten to like a real diamond, okay? But not just a real diamond. This whole, there was emeralds and the crown jewels of England and all this kind of stuff. And I found myself just wandering around this little circle gallery, but right in the middle, kind of out in the open so that, nobody could steal it, all right? I'm sure that you couldn't walk away with it anyway. But it kind of looked like it was on purpose right where it was, so they would have, lasers in there and all that kind of stuff, was something called the Hope Diamond. The Hope Diamond. Have you ever know about the Hope? Anybody know about the Hope Diamond? All right, well, just in case you don't know, it's one of the largest diamonds in the world. Very valuable, very expensive looking. And I found myself just sitting there for a good, couple minutes, longer than I probably would ever look at something like that, and just staring at it. Just doing it. Have you ever done something like that? Maybe it wasn't a diamond, maybe it's something else. But you ever found yourself just staring at an object and you think, why am I looking at this? All right. And here it is, the largest, by the way, it's the largest, I guess it's not the largest diamond in the world, but it's the largest blue diamond in the world, 45 carats, all right, 45 and a half. And so if you know anything about that, Jonathan can tell you, if you want carat stuff, I mean, he can tell you. He's newly engaged. Or Nathaniel, right, Nathaniel? Okay. These guys have been researching. So if you have diamond questions, go talk to them, all right? And then go ask to look at the gal's ring, and they'll tell you all about it. But I found myself looking at that and just spending some time, sitting there looking at that. But while jewels and precious stones are here on earth, they're valuable. That was a very valuable piece. I don't know the value of it. I'm sure it's upwards of 100 million easy. The next one of the larger diamonds sold for 50 million or something like that. And it's not even close to that. But you know what? While they're used that way, and if you go to the Bible, God uses this term of jewels. We just saw two verses of it, right? Two simple verses in Proverbs. God uses this little term, jewel or jewels, quite often in the Bible. We sing a song about it, in his kingdom and talking about the jewels of his crown. We'll get to that later. But God uses this term jewels, and not just that. Other precious stones and precious things are used often in the Bible. God uses them decorating heaven, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm looking forward to, getting to see that. So we're going to chase this word here in the Bible for just a little bit. Let me tell you some things we won't do, all right? We won't chase down every mention of treasure in the Bible. We'll be here forever, all right? We won't chase down every mention of gold or silver and stuff like that. Although, they're almost always in a little group together where God talks about them. And so we will see them, but we won't chase down each one of those words. I want to point your sights to a couple of spots. In fact, we're going to go there now. Go ahead and start turning to Genesis chapter 24. First, we're going to look at some verses in the Old Testament, mostly, how God uses this idea of jewelry, all right? Us men, we have a ring on if we're married, a wedding ring. Ladies, you would probably wear one. Ladies, of course, can wear more than that, all right? Guys, let's stay away from it, all right? And I'm sure that you're going to find in the Bible some pretty interesting examples, actually, of men and women who did those kind of things. But we're going to end with two main passages of Scripture when we get down to it that we're going to take our lesson out of. But let's go ahead and look at some context here. Genesis 24, I told you where to go, didn't tell you what verse. Genesis 24, verse 52. One of the earliest mentions of jewels in the Bible is here, Genesis 24. And verse 52. And here we go. And it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth what? Jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave her also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men were with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, and at least 10 after that she shall go." And he said to them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master." This is a great story. You say, "Brother Young, what's the purpose here? Why did he do this?" Well, this is a really simple one. Number one, jewels are used in the Bible as a symbol of commitment or promised love. All right? And so, you know what? Ella, hold it up. All right? Commitment and promised love right there. You know what? Her husband, or future husband, all right, her fiancé, I'm sorry, took that and gave it to her as a promise of what? The commitment of his love. And here is a man who is a servant taking on behalf of his master and his master's son, and he brings them an offering of precious jewels and stones and gifts. And of course, this would be money, and this would have value. So he's not just giving a ring, like, "Here you go, have a ring." All right, it's not a ring pop, okay? All right, this is a nice item, all right? And more than one nice item, several nice items. And so I'm not sure that she even wore it in the same way we do now, necessarily, but I imagine she would have, all right? But then again, she's never met this guy. Think of the story, if you remember that. She's never met him ever, okay? And she's about ready to jump out in faith, following the Lord's will, in this thing. This would be like a gift that's attached with a promise to it. And so in the Bible, God uses that this way as well. And in a world where, hey, just we're going to skip past this, but in the world where commitment is cheapened and promised love is not promised, it's cheap. Does that make sense? Let's remember and look down. Hey, men, let's remember and look down at this every once in a while. You know, this is the only piece of jewelry I wear. And I've known guys who've worn rings and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I look down at this, and this is important to me. And it should be important to you. And you say, "Brother Young, well, it's just a Wednesday night. It's just a ring." No, it's not just a ring, all right? The ring isn't just there. You wear it for what? a purpose, a commitment, a love that you have for your spouse. You say, well, I'm not married and I don't have one. Well, you know what? Maybe you don't have one specifically, but God's going to start using some of these ideas of jewelry and fine objects and precious, valuable items more than just a picture. He's going to start using it to apply to our hearts. And so, number one, a jewel is used as a symbol of commitment and promised love. Number two, jewels were chosen by God to shower His people with blessings in the Bible. Jewels were used by God to shower His people with blessings in the Bible. Exodus 3:22, you don't have to turn there, but this is the story of when the Egyptians were going through the 10 plagues, and right before God, you know, brings plague number 10, he looks at Moses and says, he says this, ready? I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. I'm about ready to unleash something that you've not really seen before, and which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Pharaoh's going to let you go after I'm done with him. But not only that, Moses, not only that, God's people, the world is going to give you blessings because I've allowed it. Does that make sense? And so God looks at his people and says, well, hey, you're in the world, but I'm about ready to bless you using the world. Okay? Now, guys, where did we get our paycheck this week? Somewhere in the world. Okay? That, now, maybe you own a business or whatever, but we work and we live in the world system. And you know what God does? Oftentimes, he uses the money floating around in the world, which all belongs to him, all right? Which all belongs to him. And he blesses his people with that. And here we have a pretty amazing example. Can you imagine? I mean, think about, put yourself in their situation. They're slaves. I mean, they've not had any money to their name. They've not had any prosperity. And all of a sudden, they're going to make it through these plagues and watch that happen. And then God's going to shower them with blessings. Oh, and he does. Right? It says the ladies borrowed from their neighbors jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and they put them on their sons and their daughters, and it said they spoiled the Egyptians. It sounds like the Egyptians spoiled them, all right, if in our term of it. But basically, hey, they took it all right? They didn't even have to take it by force. They didn't even have to like go and rob them for it. I mean, they just said, here, take some money and leave, all right? And so God does use jewels in the Bible to bless his people. All right, number three, we're going to turn here. Exodus 35, go ahead and go there real quick. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. So we have, number one, jewels are about commitment and promised love. They're about God using it to bless his people. But this is an amazing story here in Exodus 35, verse 20. Exodus 35, 20. Let's read this together. Watch with me in verse 20 as we read down to verse 29. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his servants and for the holy garments. They're bringing offerings to the Lord for the tabernacle. Let's read on. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets of all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet. There's the purple shirts, guys. All right. I think we almost had to wear one of those, didn't we? Was that a pink or purple? Yeah, in the young adult class. Brother Nichols is smiling. All right, over there. All right. And they brought all that stuff to him. Keep reading. Ready? And verse 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod. They bring spice. Look at verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. You say, Brother Young, what's the point of that? Well, we're starting to see what God's doing in his word. These things are a reflection of your heart. A reflection of your heart. See, they took what, these are the same people, by the way. Some of them are the same people that when they left Egypt, God blessed them with money. And then later they took that money and what did they do? They gave it back. They gave it back. And so, listen, sometimes you say, well, I got a ring and I'm never giving it away. I get that. It's your wedding ring. Don't give your wedding ring away. It's why? Because number one, it stands for commitment and purpose and a love for my wife. I'm not going to give this away. I can remember as a kid, you know, you may not think, maybe this has happened to some of you, but my dad would be working, and I think he lost two or three wedding rings growing up, all right? And as a kid, I can even remember, you know, I think God did that on purpose. Well, I mean, I don't know, you know, but I think he kind of did it on purpose, at least in my heart. It suddenly drove it home that, wait a minute, my dad lost something that was valuable, not just to him because it was money valuable, right? But something that meant a lot to him. And I got to watch him get a new one, and he lost it again, get a new one, lost again. I think at least twice he lost it, so he's had three different ones. And I'll have to ask him about that if he's ever lost it again since then. But you know what that did to me? It drove home as a kid. My dad loves my mom, and this is just a symbol that he doesn't want to leave at home. All right, this is a symbol he wants to keep with him. And this is a valuable item to him, not because it's worth a lot, but because it means a lot. And here in the Bible, what God gave them, they gave back, not only just gave back, but they gave back willingly. I challenge you to read Exodus 35 again. Look at the adjectives that are described, the heart of willingness that's with these people. A big need, and they gave it right back to the Lord. Hey, jewels and silver back here in the Bible, oftentimes, to keep applying this, they mean money for us now. All right, you know, Brother Anthony doesn't get paid in gold even when he worked in the gold mine. All right, he got paid in money. Okay, and you know what? These jewels and stuff, we may not have treasure chests at our house where we're counting the, you know, necklaces and all that kind of stuff. We get paid in money. Well, let's give it back to the Lord. Let's give it back to the Lord. Numbers 35, I'll just give you this. Jewels were given as an oblation. If you keep reading, an oblation means a special offering of worship to the Lord. That would be like our tithes and offerings, but beyond that, to a need that the Lord has, all right? So jewelry in the Bible, where are we getting to, Brother Young? Well, let me just give you a few more, ready? Job says jewels and silver don't compare to wisdom. So if you think of the ways you've heard it, maybe you've read Proverbs, and I understand what this means, silver and gold, all this kind of stuff. And think of the time, silver and gold have I none, is what the disciples said, all right? And we can relate to that, can't we? All right, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what do? Give I thee. All right, and so Job says jewels and silver don't compare to wisdom. That's one. Proverbs says silver is like a reprover. All right, a reprover is as silver to you. A word fitly spoken is like what? Apples and gold and pictures of silver. Song of Solomon compares his bride to fine jewels. The symbol that the prodigal son gets back is his ring, that promise again. Once again, not a promise of marriage, but this time a promise of restoring him. A fair woman, we just read about her, right? Proverbs 11:22. Oh, she's a jewel. Yeah, but where's the jewel hanging out at? All right. On the swine snout, can you imagine that? You know, a fair woman without a discretion is like a jewel on a pig's nose. All right. 1 Peter 3:8 tells us ornaments and jewels are inferior to your meek and quiet spirit. You see, Brother Young, where are we going? Are we just going to sit here and talk about jewels all day? No. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. There's two passages of Scripture that when I was studying all those things, all right, jumped out at me. This one will, in a way, broke my heart, Isaiah chapter 3. And then the next one reminded me of what God really wants to show us. I think these two things here will show us the ingredient the Lord really does. I know jewelry and wealth and money is throughout the whole Bible, but in Isaiah chapter 3, we find kind of a picture into what America, if you start reading it, kind of seems like what America is like today. If you look there in verse 1, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem, from Judah, the stay and the staff, the whole stay." Skip down to verse 2 and 3 and 4, where if you just look at them, he starts taking away all the valuable people for the land, all right? In Israel at this time, there's no mighty men. There's no captains. That sounds like America. There's no, judges that are correct. There's no prudent men. He even says in verse 4, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Now, I don't think we have that at the moment, but I think last 4 years before that, we may have had some of that, all right? People who were immature ruling our country. That sounds about like America. And by the way, even though we have 4 years of hopefully a little better than that, we still need to pray for our nation. It doesn't get back to where it is here, all right? Verse 8, though, is kind of where it starts to break your heart, because you start to see where America, whether our rulers are good or not for a while, you look at verse 8, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord." Their actions and their words were against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of glory. The show of their countenance does witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. We've had to suffer that, haven't we? Not hiding our sins. America is full of that. All right. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul. They have rewarded evil unto themselves. In verse 10 and 11, he reminds you, if you're righteous, okay, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. It pays to do right, doesn't it? Pays to do right. Verse 12, as for my people, children of their oppressors and women rule over them, O my people, which lead thee, what causes you to err and destroy the way, which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. You see, Brother Young, what does this have to do with jewels? Well, look at verse 16. He starts to talk about what this jewelry is meaning in their day and age, and he mentions some specific things. The same people who over here were giving to the Lord, I'll bring my earrings and I'll bring my necklaces and I'll bring my fine goods and I'll bring my everything I got for God and for his temple and for the Lord. Look what happens in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. You say, Brother Young, what is that? It's what it says, all right? Keep reading. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments. That sounds like what? Jewelry, all right? About their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. Brother Young, wait a minute. That sounds weird, all right? Round tires like the moon? All right, well, I can tell you what that looks like, okay? In fifth grade, there was a girl in my class at school, had hair down to here or something, all right? And she would wear these gigantic hoop earrings, all right? You know what I'm talking about? And she would get in trouble for it. And then somehow she would change them and she would take off the hoop ones and then she would wear half hoop ones like a crescent moon, all right? And she would walk around and you could hear her coming a mile away, okay? And you know what? I don't know if you were, but then they would start wearing, you know, the same rebellious group, all right? Would start wearing little ankle jewelry things. And guess what you could do? You could hear them coming a mile away. Okay? You know what it was? Jewelry. You say, Brother Young, is this whole thing going to be about jewelry? Yeah, I'm just preaching against jewelry today. Don't wear it. No hoops, no ankle bracelets, no nothing. All right, now ladies, listen, that's not what it's about. I don't have any grounds to sit here and talk about all of that stuff and tell you what not to wear. All right? But I do have a pretty good reference here. And you can get the description, physical description of these folks. I mean, look at it. They're wearing chains, bracelets, and mufflers in verse 19. All right? So they're ghetto now. All right? Gangster jewelry. All right? The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparel. That's a lot. All right? And the mantles and the wimples. I don't even know what that is. And the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linens and the hoods and the veils. Sounds like he's hitting everything. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, which they're trying to do, it'll stink. All right? How many of you have met somebody like that? I have. All right? They walk by. And they do have a smell, all right? And but you know what? Instead of a sweet smell that they're trying to give you, all right, it stinks. It doesn't smell right. Something's off, okay? And you've met those people before. Something's just not quite right in here. And that's the thing, in the heart. And so if you keep reading it, he keeps going, all right? Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness, all right? So do right with the Lord or you'll go bald, all right? Instead of a stomach or a girding sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. There it is, burning instead of beauty. You say, Brother Young, are we still preaching against beauty? Well, keep reading. The men shall fall by the sword and the mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn and being desolate shall sit upon the grounds. Wow, that's depressing, all right? There's no good encouragement there. There's no, I will repay you and I will help you out and I will bring you unto myself. There's none of that in that chapter. Now, if you keep reading Isaiah, it's a long book. There's a good bit of that where the Lord says, if you'll repent, I will draw you to me. You know what? But here, if you stay in this worldly, backwards condition, then your end is not going to be good. Your end is not going to be good. The point is, if you look at verse 8, they had a problem, and the problem showed itself on the outside. The problem showed itself on the outside. It's kind of like, are you wearing the ring or is the ring wearing you? And I want to ask people that when I walk into the store and they have a nose ring. Are you wearing that or is it wearing you? All right? Well, it's wearing them. All right? You say, well, they put it on there. Yeah, it controls their body now. All right? You ever seen a hog? It talked about the jewel of, you know, you ever had one of those? The boys at school know that I have one of these. It's a little, it's an old-fashioned nose piercer for a hog, right? Two very sharp prongs like this, and you pull it, and it'll pierce that pig or cow. It'll pierce the nose. And, you know, why did I have that? I don't know, all right? I found it at an antique shop randomly and bought it, but I didn't know what it was when I picked it up. But you look at that thing, and you think, wow, I can go up, Brother Josh, to a big old, now I don't really want to necessarily, but you could go up to a big old bull, and if you put that in and put that ring in his nose or whatever, and you've at least got some power of control, now until he shakes you off or something else, all right? But you can pretty well lead a pretty big animal with one of those rings in their nose, because that's a very sensitive area. And so young people, listen, folks, listen, if we're walking around, I don't think anybody in here is planning on getting a nose ring tomorrow, all right? But the truth is, there's a problem here, not with just their choice of jewelry. It's okay to, you know, is it okay to have hair and not be bald? Well, yeah. All right. Is it okay to have a change of clothes? Yeah, it's okay to have a change of clothes. But all of these things, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the thing itself. But the problem was, in fact, I'll say it this way. The problem wasn't the things themselves, but rather the layers upon layers of what God labeled haughty and vain without regard to layering on the ornaments that he wants you to wear. So there's ornaments I should wear, and there's ornaments that I should only wear in moderation, would be the way to put it. You say, Brother Young, is he against those? Well, I think you ought to be careful what you're symbolizing too. All right, when he says the round tires like the moon, that's a specific thing that symbolizes not Israel. All right, I looked up the word calls because I didn't know what that was, and you can either have a call like the little Hebrews would have, the little hat or some other stuff like that. But the ladies would have those little net things that come across. You ever seen those? They come across the forehead and they dangle like this. All right. That's a jewelry, right? Well, it started with not the Israelites. It started with the land of Midian and the Midianites. And so you have things like that that as a Christian, hey, we ought to do a little more research on. We shouldn't just let, you know, not only our daughters, but our sons the same way. Just because it looks cool doesn't mean I should wear it. All right, you know, this isn't in the notes, but it's like, okay, just because the world wears it doesn't mean I should wear it. All right, just because the guy in the JCPenney catalog has it on, all right, doesn't mean, have you looked at those recently? All right, a little weird, all right, and then what goes around, what happens? Comes around, okay? Just because Dad wore it in the 70s doesn't mean I should wear it either, all right? And so we got to have balance, and modesty is important. And ladies and gentlemen, this applies to all of us, all right? And I know we're talking about ladies when it talks about jewelry, but he's talking more than about jewelry here. He's talking about the ornaments that you wear. Hey, what do you look like tomorrow? What do you look like the next day? What do you look like when you go out on your bus route and knock the doors? We're supposed to be a testimony for the Lord. These folks, the problem was their tongue and their actions, the way they talked, the way they walked, didn't match up with what God thought. You say, well, how do I get it to where I'm supposed to be? Let's go to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. And I promise this is it. The thing was, they acted like the world, they looked like the world, and they cared about the physical riches of the world. All he wanted to do was have them talk to him and obey him. That's it. Verse 8. Okay? Their talk and their actions didn't match up. Proverbs 31, you remember her, the virtuous woman? We won't go there. We don't have time. But she had the right idea, didn't she? Okay. In fact, the Bible, when I was looking it up, I didn't even have a time to talk about rubies, but it says her price is far above rubies. And why? And then it goes and gives you a whole list. You know, young men, if you're not married, you should read that list. Dads, we should read that list. Husbands, we should read that list. Not to go beat your wife over the head with it and say, all right, honey, here's your list, okay? No, no, no. So that you would start valuing her the way she's supposed to be valued. And start encouraging. You say, well, she's missing some of those. Well, you're missing a bunch too, mister. All right? You are. And by the way, you have a list too. It's called the Bible. All right? And I'm sure there's a woman out there who's got the Proverbs 31 for Men book or something. All right? You can go find it. But Malachi 3:15. Let's read this. So this is the second passage of Scripture. First one is a problem with our attitude, and it shows itself on the outside. If you go to Malachi 3, verse 15, we suddenly see the jewels thing show up again, but this time it shows us what God is meaning by this, or he puts out something really important here. And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You say, Brother Young, what's the mention of jewels here? Hey, listen, there's a huge difference in that other passage. In that other passage, he said, oh, their jewels are showing their hearts bad. In here, he says, oh, there's people out there that don't serve me, but there's a group of people that do serve me, and I know who they are. They're my jewels. They're my jewels, the ones that will make up my crown at some point. Hey, listen, if you go, let's look at it again, all right? And by the way, not everything's changed, okay? We had a bad passage of Scripture, and then we have what seems to be a good passage of Scripture, but look how it starts. And now we call the proud happy. So the proud people are still proud, right? And they're also happy. So the ladies wearing their jewels, they're still proud. They're still walking around with their tinkling, all right? They're still doing the same thing they have always done. And then if you look at it, it says, yea, they that work wickedness. Well, are they in trouble, Brother Young? No, they're set up. That means set for life. They're doing all right, Brother Anthony. All right, they're just hanging out doing wickedness. Okay, look at what it says. Yea, even those that tempt God are even delivered. You say, well, this isn't encouraging, Brother Young. I thought we were going to get there. We are. All right, look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord, I like this part right here, spake often one to another. Hey, are we going to do that right after church here? We're going to speak to one another. All right, hey, these people aren't walking around tinkling saying, hey, look at my jewels. All right, look at my ring, okay? Look at my bling. They're not doing that. They're talking to each other in the Lord, all right? And he says, the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. Hey, these people, they dress this way for him. They wear this thing not because it's comfortable, it's hot. I don't want to wear a tie. Why would I wear a tie? I wear it for him, all right? Ladies, they wear the modesty not for the world, but for him, all right? And here he says, they shall be, I like this, verse 17, and they shall be mine. Now we sing the song, it says, he is mine, he is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure, he is mine. Hey, listen, when I grab something, I'm like, wow, it's mine. I brought some jewels with me, I didn't show them to you, it didn't fit, all right? But if I found it, I would look at it and go, look at that, it's mine. All right? It's awesome. That's what the world does. Mine. It's mine. It's mine. And I do say that about the Lord. I want him to be mine. But God actually says right there, it's not just he is mine, it's I am his. And he looks down and he can sing that song. He said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my what? Jewels. Hey, you know what? I think that's the thing. We're supposed to be jewels for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday in heaven, but also, how about right now? How about right now? How about tomorrow? I know it's not popular. I don't think you really, us guys, we're not walking out to work tomorrow saying, yes, I get to be a jewel, all right? Okay, but I challenge you to think of it. Go home and look up the Hope Diamond if you want. Look at a big picture of that thing. And you know what? It is beautiful. It does look nice. I know it's a human object. It's here on earth. By the way, God allowed it to be, all right? And you say, well, God didn't create all the diamonds. He created some pretty beautiful stuff, including diamonds. Mankind just kind of chopped them out of the blocks and got them there, all right? But God created all that. But more importantly, God created you and me. And by the way, he didn't just create you. He saved you to make you his. And the day you got saved, you're not just a rock, and you're not just a thing, and you're not just a person, and you're not just walking around with what you got thinking, well, nothing matters. I'll just work and earn money and go about my life. No, he says, I don't want you to do that. That's what these guys do over here. And they just walk around with, you know what? They come every Sunday and say, hey, guess what I bought last week? Guess what I bought last week? Guess what I bought last week? Well, and it's not really good. By the way, there's another group. Guess how much money I gave to the Lord? Guess how much money I gave to the Lord? That's not, either one of those are good. All right. He says, listen, Just serve me, give all your wealth back to me, and I'll bless you, and keep on doing that, and wear it all for the right what? The right reason. The outward jewels and things that we carry around with us are a picture of our inward heart. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to be a jewel for me. So let me give you three things, and we'll be done. Ready? Number one, after reading all that, talking about it, it's not the jewel or the valuable item or the precious stone, however it's said in the Bible, but it's not the jewel that's the big deal. It's where is the jewel at and what is its purpose. That lady who is fair, the Lord says she's like a jewel. She's beautiful. But he said if she's attached to a swine snout, she's not worth a whole lot. All right? It might look good, but it's there without discretion. Hey, listen, young people, there are some people out in the world, and honestly, truly, we meet them, and at first glance, they don't look like a whole lot. But you know what? You start bringing them to church, helping them grow in the Lord. He saves them. God is really good at polishing us ugly folks up pretty good, all right, and making us look like we're jewels for him. But that's if the inside. See, God doesn't do that just to make you look good. He does it if you are good on the inside. And we could teach about a jeweler. If you look at a diamond before it's cut, it looks like a big hunk of, you know, not very attractive rock. And you know what that guy does? He sits there and breaks it open. And you know what's inside? He makes a diamond out of it. He makes a diamond out of it. So you take, they call it a diamond in the rough. They take a big chunk and they get it down, and it's a diamond. It's valuable. Listen, hey, we need to be that for the Lord. It's not just the jewel, it's how it's used. Number two, ready? A jewel or ornament is often seen as just an ornament. That's usually what it's labeled as. Oh, look, there's an earring. Oh, look, there's a ring. But it does more than that. It reflects the condition of the person wearing it. At least according to the Bible, it does. If you go back to that thing, those jewelry pieces they wore reflected the inside of their what? Their heart. The way they wore it, how they wore it, what they wore. It showed everybody else what their heart was like. And so we need to be careful about that. By the way, number three, ready? We're supposed to be jewels for the Lord, which means we are a what? A reflection of Him. We are. And so not only will we be jewels someday, but day to day, tomorrow, the next day, when I go out, I am a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a jewel in His crown if I am saved, and someday I'll join Him there in person. But you know what? How good of a job am I doing? Am I reflecting Him for good? Or am I one of those, you know, hey, listen, am I a backslidden Christian? Have I become one of those little pieces of jewelry He'd rather leave at home? All right? Am I become one of those pieces of the attire that you think, that you look at, the ties that Brother Young has, and I look over all my ties, and I look at that one, I think, I should wear that again. And then I go, nah, doesn't match. All right? Or, I'm just not really, you know, don't really like it that much. I don't want to be that kind of Christian for the Lord. By the way, sometimes I think God looks down and He goes, man, I wish I could use you guys. I wish you were ready. But you know what? Full of haughtiness, full of ourself. And sometimes we find ourselves, you say, well, I'm not being used by the Lord. Well, are you available? All right. Do you have? How about that? How about your walk and your talk? How about your inside? Is it clean? Is it where it needs to be? Hey, listen, if I ever get stuck in a rut and I figure out I'm not being used by the Lord as I need to do, you know what normally needs to happen? I need to clean some junk off, all right? Get it cleaned off and shine again for the Lord. And I think sometimes we just need to stop and be reminded when we read this that jewels and ornaments and things we wear do reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we doing a good job? Or are we just wearing the ornaments of a Christian each day? Or sometimes, hey, are we wearing the ornaments of the world? That'd be especially bad. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, help us not to forget what we read this evening in your word. Lord, I don't know that my delivery was all it needs to be, but I pray that, Lord, your word would be what it needs to be. Lord, I want to be worthy of you. I want to do right. Lord, I want to be used of you. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you in your sight. Lord, I want to be something that when you look down at me, you're pleased to look upon it. Lord, you find value in it. Lord, every person, every child, every young lady, every young man in the room tonight has a value far beyond what we even know and think. Lord, you created them for a special purpose. And Lord, we all need to not only embrace that, but Lord, we need to start tomorrow. We We need to start tonight before we go to bed and just get ourselves correct in our thinking. Lord, help us not to wear false ornaments or things that would be a cover-up in our life. Help us to make sure, Lord, that we are committed to you, and Lord, that we would do right. Lord, help us to reflect you this week, even tomorrow, for the rest of the week, for the rest of our lives. Help us to give back to you in Jesus' name.